Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is the podcast of cyber intelligence, cybersecurity. My name is Phoenix. I'm a current student athlete here at James Madison University. Just got here, actually. I'm new. I'm a transfer. And we have some good information here on this podcast today. I'm actually with a special guest, and her name is?
Allison.
I'm here with Allison. And Allison, tell us a little bit about yourself and your domain.
I'm a junior kinesiology major at JMU. And I currently work with the athletic training staff with the football team and the lacrosse team. And I basically just help set up practice and the training room and distribute water to all the athletes during practices and games.
Wow, perfect. Sounds like you're a busy person. So she shared a little bit about her domain and mine. Mentioned before, student athlete. More specifically, football. Heard that's a big sport here at JMU. Guys did good last year. So my domain is sports. And basically, this whole interview, this whole podcast is going to be about discussing similarities and differences between cybersecurity and cyber intelligence, because they are not the same. They are similar, but they are not the same. And we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about how those things, cybersecurity, cyber intelligence, show in our domains of Allison, athletic training and sports, and mine, obviously, which is football and sports. With that being said, we'll get into it. So, Allison, what can you tell me about cybersecurity, or kind of like describe it? I know I showed you a couple little examples, videos, and diagrams, things like that, but what did you take away from that? What do you think cybersecurity is?
So, after watching the videos and just listening to what you had to say about it, I think that it's the security on all of our like computers, our internet, our phones, and just protecting like all of our passwords, and like if you put any of your like card information and stuff on your computers, protecting that. Yes. And yeah.
Wow, that is a you might have to get into the class here pretty soon with all that information. So yeah, you kind of hit it on the spot. Has to do with all that stuff. More in depth, you know, cybersecurity can mean a lot of different things. From what I learned from this course so far, it's very complex. You know, you have to stop a bunch of different viruses. I'm not trying to get into cyber intelligence stuff, but just cybersecurity wise, just like how you stop those viruses, those attacks that you see on, you know, your phone, like you said, your phone, your computing devices, networks, things of that nature, especially in today's day of, you know, being mostly everything's online. So it's definitely a huge thing, definitely something that's rising. I didn't know about this really till I saw the course. Did you hear about cybersecurity before this, or like was this pretty pretty new to you?
It's pretty new. I mean, I've definitely heard like people working like with cybersecurity, or like at JMU you have to like take like a quiz before you like update your password. Yep. Every certain amount of months. Yep. And a lot of it's on like cybersecurity and making sure that you're like protecting your passwords and all of that. So I know a little bit about it, but not to the extent until like I started talking to you about it.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you have a pretty good idea of it so far. So now diving into more cybersecurity. So the video I showed you, a YouTube video called "What is Cybersecurity?" It was about seven minutes? Mm-hmm. About 7 minute video, probably a little longer than you anticipated, but all good information. What can you tell me about the video, or what are some questions that you may have from that video?
The first question I had is, what kind of cyber attacks should I be most worried about and being affected by, like personally?
Yeah, so I'm obviously not the genius about this stuff yet, but the attack that I'm really familiar with that we talked about a lot in class is a phishing attack. And that's when like a similar company that you've may have been encountered with kind of sends you that email that looks pretty much real. I've never got before by that. But the phishing attack is probably a really common one, and one that you should be aware of, because they're very common, especially nowadays. Just like everyone doing online shopping and things like that. People are getting good at these type of phishing attacks. So definitely I'd be aware for phishing attacks. And your second question?
Why should I be concerned about cybersecurity on my personal devices?
I think you kind of hit on it earlier. You know how I'm assuming you online shop, right?
Yeah.
So your card is on your phone or on computer, correct?
Yes.
I think that is the my point of view. I think it's the biggest reason because your card information, it's out there. I don't know. No one really says like, it'll say in like small words like it's protected, blah blah blah. But like, is it really protected? Who knows? I mean, you could get card information. People are good. People do computing and hacking, just like a normal job. They get good at it. They are skillful at it. So I think that's definitely a reason why we need this type of security, because, you know, it's just, it's money. You got to protect it. Any other questions?
Just one more. What are some ways that I can protect my computer from a cyber attack?
That's a great question. We actually learned about that in class. Actually, I've seen it before too, and I didn't really know anything about it, but we talked about two-factor authentication. And that's like a way to like double down on your security. So like your iPhone, you have a 4-digit password, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Face ID.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, I know you can't copy someone's face. So that's pretty secure, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the 4-digit, you know, I'm not going to say my password, but mine's really easily. I feel like I could get hacked because it's definitely a number that I use a lot.
Yeah, definitely same.
But yeah, so I think having those two factors mm-hmm. can definitely protect yourself a little bit more. Moving on from that, we talked about the phishing attack a little bit, but I just want to know, have you ever been a part of it or have you ever seen it or experienced a phishing attack?
Yeah, I've definitely gotten emails before where it like says it's from like Netflix or Spotify, mm-hmm. but I never click on them directly. Like I always just like go to my account to make sure everything's good.
Smart,
just because my parents warned me not to do that because yep. there's viruses and stuff that can get easily on your computer if you click on them.
You're very right. I'm glad, just like you, I was told not to click on fake emails or anything that looks fake.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said before, it's getting harder and harder. A lot of things look real. They use the real company's emails. Maybe their company phone number as well too, so it's kind of hard to really know. But I feel like if you have like, you know, common sense, you'll know if it's a fake email or not. Mm-hmm. But people are getting good at hacking like that. We already talked about kind of how to prevent those attacks, two-factor authentication, or maybe changing up a password every week, something like that. Did you ever have to change your password consistently for any of your phones, apps, or computer? Or I remember you mentioned JMU.
Yeah, for JMU, we have to change it, like, I want to say, like, every 2 or 3 months. Like,
okay.
We get the email that we have to change our password. I've definitely had to, like, change passwords just because I forget them sometimes.
Same.
But same. It's always good to, like, change it and, like, you know, update your passwords so that people don't get into it, because I get into the habit of like using the same password for mm-hmm. multiple things, and like if they find out my password for my bank account, they probably know my password for
everything. Yeah,
so
I'm right there with you. I feel like I should definitely change it up, because I definitely have the same password, or I probably shouldn't say that because I could
yeah.
get hacked through this phone, but I definitely have a lot of passwords that are on the same sites. Good. So now we'll talk about how cybersecurity plays a role in your domain, but before that, we'll talk about this NIST framework. Pulled up here, I have a diagram of it. And the five main things are to identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. And those kind of relate to athletic training here a little bit, because obviously you have to identify, say if an athlete was to get injured, right? You have
yeah.
to identify.
Definitely, like if someone is coming in and let's say it's their hamstring that
right.
is bothering them. They come in, they're like, yeah, it's been bothering me for a couple of days, or just felt it tweak. We look at both hamstrings, identify the injured one.
Mm-hmm.
Then next you said protect. So after that, we're going to, kind of limit them on different activities just so that we can protect it while it's trying to strengthen or heal. Detect, not really as much in athletic training.
That's kind of like a cyber thing.
Yeah, yeah. But responding, we respond a lot to injuries, especially on the field. We had someone last year get hit in the head, and we had to end up spine boarding him, which thankfully he's fine and okay. But we had to respond quickly and recover. We have guys all the time come in for recovery afterwards, doing like soft tissue stuff, just
yep.
trying to get better, using the cold tubs, hot tubs, game readies, stuff like that to
wow.
help get better.
I like that. So there's definitely a similarity there between this NIST framework and athletic training.
Yeah.
So how might cybersecurity play a role in athletic training, more like the tech part? So, like, I know we talked, not on the podcast, obviously, but me and you, we talked about, you know, medical records are very, like, secretive. Like, you're not supposed to talk about them. You're not supposed to, mm-hmm. obviously, people aren't supposed to have access to them. How might you guys use, like, cybersecurity ways to stop hacks with protecting those medical records? So, like, two-factor authentication, something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to tell me what you guys use for your security. Yeah. but that definitely is, like, a similarity, right?
Yeah, definitely. HIPAA's a huge thing in the medical field, making sure that only the people who are working on those certain players know the information that they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
All of our medical records we have, like, on paper, but we also have them in a computer system. And the paper ones are locked up every day in, like, a room that's locked inside of a room, locked inside of a room. Like, there's just multiple right. locks.
Good.
And then everything online, we have a very strong security system here through JMU, making sure people don't get all that information.
Yep.
Just because we've had in the past, like, a long time ago, I know they talked about how one of our, like, players' injuries got leaked.
Yep.
And that was really bad because other teams were able to find that out and kind of adjust all their plays, and
knowing that he was hurt,
yeah, knowing that he was injured, and yep. like, oh, it's his, like, you know, his right side of the body, let's go for that side
right.
of the body when
yep.
we tackle
yep.
him. Just so it's just, we got to keep things on
gotta,
the low around
gotta
here.
Keep it on lock. You heard it here first. We got to keep it on lock. So that was our segment about cybersecurity. Now we're going to move towards cyber intelligence. Now I know we talked about this one earlier. Have you ever heard of cyber intelligence?
No, not really.
Not really. So, I mean, I'm right there with you. Before this class, this course, I knew nothing about cyber intelligence. I've only heard of cybersecurity. But thankfully, I learned a little bit, and we'll discuss that. Or I'll kind of give you a quick little synopsis. So cyber intelligence is kind of like the understanding of why the attack happened, what are the motives? What are the strengths and weaknesses of the person giving out the attack? So obviously you could, you know, end up stopping it. So cybersecurity is kind of like the actual attack, the virus or the phishing or malware or ransomware, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then cyber intelligence is kind of like the deep dive as to why this attack occurred. Who was the person behind it? What are their motives? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? And things of that nature. So on this cyber intelligence topic, I showed you one video about cyber intelligence, and it was a YouTube video, a day in the life of a cyber threat intelligence analyst. That one was a quick minute video, probably a little slow, not too exciting, but what was your, if you took away anything, if you could remember anything, what was just one thing that you could take away from that video or that you want to share?
Yeah, it was definitely, like, I would say more boring than the other video, just because it was just kind of like what this girl is doing in daily life. One thing that was interesting is she did say that she has to, like, the attacks will come in, like, different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to figure out, okay, what that language is and what is it saying, and then kind of go from there to figure out, like, who's doing these attacks.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting, just, like, being able to know all those different languages and kind of detecting that and then going from there. But yeah, it was definitely looked like a boring job to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I don't know if I could sit in front of the computer that long and assess those threats. So talking more about cyber intelligence and how that relates to your domain of being an athletic trainer in football and lacrosse and the other sports. So I mentioned how in cyber intelligence, they're analyzing, kind of trying to figure out strengths and weaknesses. Tell me how that kind of correlates or relates to athletic training, maybe looking at a football player with an injury, because you're kind of like assessing their strengths and weaknesses and kind of analyzing them to see what's their problem and how you can fix it, right?
Yeah, and definitely you can relate it to athletic training a lot, just like kind of what you were saying. When guys come in, like, they won't necessarily have an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just their shoulders. Their left shoulder doesn't feel as strong as their right shoulder.
Right.
And we find, like, a weakness in their rotator cuff.
Yep.
And so then from there, we do all the assessments, all the evaluations, and then make a rehab plan for their left shoulder to get stronger in that rotator cuff. And then, like, returning to play and just kind of taking it each step of the way to get them back to where they need to be and be as strong as possible.
Yeah, see? Cyber intelligence and security can correlate to off the field sports in that case. So that's kind of our two segments of cybersecurity, cyber intelligence. Now, for the kind of ending of our podcast, we have one more diagram, and then we are going to talk about two case studies. So this diagram here is called the social engineering life cycle. Is there anything, I showed you this earlier, is there anything kind of that jumps out that you thought was kind of interesting part of the social engineering life cycle?
Yeah, definitely the exit part of it, just because they have to remove all the traces of the malware, and that just, like, is kind of crazy how they have to get rid of, like, all the viruses and what led to that virus, and yeah, it's just crazy how people can do that and set up security around everything.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how people can do that. I don't know what goes into that, what skills you need, probably some type of coding skills, but I don't have those skills. Yeah. Maybe someday we'll talk about that then. So now, our two case studies, some real life examples. So one that we brought up and talked about was the San Francisco 49ers, NFL football team, was hit by a cyber attack on Sunday of this current Super Bowl that just passed in February. They were hit, and that resulted in temporary disruption to certain systems on their corporate IT network. So obviously film and stuff like that was affected. Do you think, what do you kind of think of that? You think they should have more security, or do you think they should spend more time kind of protecting their networks instead of probably not protecting it?
Yeah, I definitely think that, I mean, I don't know what kind of security they have, and they probably have, like, a pretty good security system just because they're a high-level team. But I think after that, it maybe had made them realize that they need to have even higher level security, just because if they were in the Super Bowl, like, if this happened before the Super Bowl and they made it to the Super Bowl and those teams had found their film, like, they would know exactly what to do and exactly what plays they were going to run. And
it'd be a boring game.
Yeah, it would be terrible. Like, there would be no fun in that game because they just would know what would happen.
Exactly. So 49ers, if you ever hear this podcast, let's get our network a little bit more secure, shall we? And the last thing we have, one more case study. So I did some research, found out there was a healthcare cyber attacks that were happening, and it's said that it's leading to worse patient care, increased mortality. I know, like, you guys aren't, you know, a hospital and athletic training, but how could a ransomware attack that resulted in procedure or test delays for those patients in those hospitals, how could a ransomware attack affect the football team at JMU?
Yeah, it definitely could affect us big time, just because whenever you all get MRIs, x-rays, any kind of imaging done, we get those results right away. And if they would have been able to get in there and delay those results, then we would not know what are the next steps. Can you participate in practice today? Like, if it's leading up to a game, we need to know, like, every single day what we need to do and where you're at. And also, if they were able to get into those results and change them at all and said that your hamstring was, like, a grade 3 strain, then, like, you would have been out for months.
Out for good 2 months.
Yeah.
Those aren't fun.
But if it's only, like, a grade 1, then you could have been able to play maybe that weekend.
Yeah.
So
maybe.
It can definitely change, like,
the outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That was a lot of information we threw at you guys. Hopefully you guys gained a little knowledge. Hopefully, Allison, you might have learned a thing or two about cybersecurity, cyber intelligence. Just want to thank you for taking your time to meet with me and learning a little bit about what I've been learning for the past 7 weeks. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.